Okay, so Saturday evening, still winter retreat. It's just there's about a week left of the winter retreat, so it ain't over yet. I mean, lots of people look forward to the one time a year when they can take a 1 year retreat. So we've got a week left after, so there's still lots of time left. Don't let the time slip by. Use the last period of time really, skillfully. It's an important period of time. It's also like how you begin something. Conditions its efficacy or its benefit. Also how you end things has a conditioning factor bringing a lot of skillful attention, wise attention. Yoni so manasikara, to wisely attend to how one is kind of wrapping up this winter retreat and drawing it, coming to the end, and even as it ends, it's not as if practice ends, that's for sure. This is the beginning of the rest of our lives, but still that attending carefully to how one is what kind of energy one is bringing to this remaining time. And this evening we chanted the fire sermon, and this is one of the kind of a cardinal sermon of the Buddha, very important teaching that the Buddha gave at the early days of his dispensation. And there is the refrain through, or one of the refrains through the discourse is just a reviewing of the senses, the sense bases, but to be looking on that experience of sight, sound, smell, taste, touch, mental objects, the eye, ears, nose, tongue, body, mind, the consciousness that arises, feeling that arises in condition with the consciousness, the contact that one has, in a way that one is arousing a quality of disenchantment, nibbida, nibbindati, which tasmimpi nibbindati, over and over, very repetitious. But that bringing disenchantment to the heart. And sometimes especially as a framework of the Buddha's teachings, sometimes the language doesn't it's hard to convey what the Buddha is expressing, probably in any language, but certainly in the English language. In that, when we think of, disenchantment, there can be a sense of almost like moroseness or a kind of a sadness that comes from this, with disenchantment, dispassion, a sense of not having that kind of spark in the heart. But that's not really at all what the flavor of that the Buddha is pointing to, that sense of nibbida and viraga are cool, bright qualities of the heart. And that's a source of happiness, well-being, certainly well-being. Happiness, again, is when we use the language of, say, from a Dhamma language into the English language or to a worldly language, sometimes it's hard to convey that, because even the kind of, you know, the happiness that most people seek tends to be pretty messy. Whereas what the Buddha is a, you know, our real happiness comes through seeing things clearly and bringing a pure, peaceful heart to what we're doing. And then this happiness and well-being is a kind of a steadiness, an unshakability. And that's you know, something to be reflecting on. You know, again, how do we come to the end of a retreat, or just at any time during retreat or during practice, during our life? You know, what kind of emotion are we wanting to nurture? Because we tend to move towards the pleasant. We shrink away from the unpleasant. And dulled by the neutral. And in terms of, you know, what is it that is actually of a liberating quality, you know, has to be far beyond that. And to be recognizing that this cultivation, the practice that we're doing, is refining the emotions of the heart. And it's like the very first verse of the Dhammapada, then the Dhammapada being probably the most popular, most translated of the Buddha's words. And the very first verses are concerned with the heart. Phenomena are preceded by the heart, ruled by the heart, made of the heart. If you speak or act with a calm and bright heart, happiness follows you like the shadow that never leaves. And it's a really beautiful image. Of course, the opposite is true as well. The corrupted heart. Suffering follows one, and it's like the tracks following an ox cart. But to the sense of the result that we experience is based on the quality of heart that we bring to what we're doing. So to be really attending to that, and that's of course whether one is doing formal meditation or we're doing our chores or having a meal or engaging in conversation with other people, we are conditioning what we are going to experience and how we experience it. So to be attending closely, bringing that calm, bright heart to what we're doing, so that we can experience some calmness and brightness and happiness and well-being, because it's what we are, it's what we wish for. So that sense of paying attention to how to develop that, and it's what our meditation, our daily life, our practice, our training. And then, in the English vernacular, then we talk about our meditation. But, the Buddha never really, the main word that he used was bhavana, which is not so much like a formal, it's part of it, can certainly be part of it, and is a part of it. Formal sitting meditation or formal meditation training, but it's it is bhavana is literally it means bring into being, and more like it's oftentimes translated more like cultivation, development, and so that cultivation of the qualities of body, speech, and mind, which of course are conditioned by the, you know, what kind of intention we bring to it, what kind of care, and what's the state of the heart that we bring into what we're doing. So they're really cultivating an alertness as to what we're bringing into being. You know, it takes a lot of care and attention and effort, but a circumspectness and intelligence as to what we're doing. You know, and the thing when we think of the word to cultivate, you know, it's like cultivating a garden, and you can't just sort of, if you're going to have a garden that's going to produce food for you to eat and create a nourishing meal out of it, you've got to pay attention to what kind of seeds you put out there. You can't just sort of look at a patch of ground and say, here's my garden, and you know, hope something's going to come from it. You've got to prepare the soil. You've got to pay attention to the seeds. You've got to plant them properly. You've got to look after them. You've got to care for them. You have to harvest them at the right time. And so then in a similar way, you know, we've got to pay attention to all those details of looking after our hearts, cultivating our heart. Bhavana, meditation, is a much broader term than just sitting down and watching your breath, or sitting down and reciting a mantra of some sort. It's much broader. And what comes to mind is something that was last week when Ajahn Kurundamo was doing the readings. One of the readings that he did was from the Majjhima 44, the Chula Vedala Sutta, the discourse on questions and answers. Questions of the Bhikkhuni Dhammadina that she was answering from the layman Visakha. And one of the questions is, you know, what is concentration or what is samadhi? Because, you know, in terms of meditation, where we are developing our meditation, we're interested in cultivating this meditation practice. The Bhikkhuni Dhammadina's answer was very, it's always resonated with me. Unification of mind is concentration, or is samadhi. Ekagata citta is the one-pointedness of mind. Although I much prefer unification. That one-pointedness, I think, is misleading, because it tends to, then you start trying to hold the mind in a place where nothing else is there. And the whole point of samadhi is the mind is actually working together with itself, and it's integrating its experience of things around. It's relying on memory to inform one. It's reflecting. It's investigating at the same time. So it's unified. It's functioning smoothly. So unification of mind is samadhi. And then the four foundations of mindfulness are its themes. Four right efforts are its requisites. And any cultivation, development, paying attention to any of these qualities is its development, is a cultivation of samadhi. So it's just that sense of really recognizing, you know, how do I unify the mind? How do I allow the mind to work together? And Lord, you know, and so much of it is. Yes, we have the different techniques that we use and rely on, putting the mind on the breath and staying with the breath, recitation of Buddho or metta bhavana or asubha practices or any number of different techniques. But it's also how one places the mind, so that because sometimes we just try too hard. And the mind gets constricted, feels too tight, or we're kind of loose, so the mind wanders. So it's just tuning in to that unifying of the mind, so that it's like the one of the images that the Buddha gives of that practice is like of the goldsmith that is, you know, sometimes you blow on it with your bellows, you get the fire really going. Sometimes you sprinkle water on it to cool it down, you know, but you're always keeping a close watch on it. Yeah, because sometimes you need to encourage the mind or do something that is a bit more overtly effortful. Sometimes you need to just really slow things down a bit and just cool the mind and allow it to settle, because it's that quality of happiness, well-being, comes from this settled stability of the mind, where one's not conflicted. It's again, there's a unification. One is not working at odds with oneself. It's the calm, bright mind is preceding and carrying through with the attending to the mood of the mind, the feeling of the mind, and in recognizing that you're not having to push anything away. I think that's one of the big obstacles that we experience, is we try to push things away. Like, I would be peaceful if only this thing wasn't bothering me, and keep pushing it away. And that's, I mean, that's actually aversion or fear that is generating that. But it's sort of like, just as in the instruction that the Bhikkhuni Dhammadina said, the four foundations of mindfulness are the theme of samadhi. Body, you can pay attention to the body. It's a valid theme for samadhi, and of course there's different aspects of in the four foundations of mindfulness that are that the Buddha details. So it's a mindfulness of breathing, and so paying attention to the breath, paying attention to the whole body, paying attention to calming the body. Paying attention to, you can, as a basis or a theme, the four postures, walking, sitting, standing, lying down, that covers everything that we do. the aspects of mindfulness and clear comprehension, this moving, reaching out, engaging in different activity, sitting still, all right through to defecating and urinating. I mean, it's just everything is a valid basis, a valid theme for samadhi, for unification of mind, for the mind to not be in disharmony with itself. That's the sense of being comfortable with what am I experiencing right now? What is this like? So taking an interest in it rather than trying to get rid of something so that you can get something else. And so that sense of, okay, it's like this. It's like Lumpa Samedo. It's like this. It's such a useful tool or phrase to rely on so that one is willing to just be present, to allow the mind to unify and be settled with what it is experiencing. And again, there's obvious, in using that same theme of the garden, there is choices you have to make, and there are skillful ones and unskillful ones, necessary ones and unnecessary ones. But that your bhavana that you are bringing into being, you're cultivating, you're developing, and developing the calm, bright heart. The 32 parts of the body, just going through the unattractive aspects of the physical existence. It can be really calming and cooling and settling to just hair of the head, hair of the body, nails, teeth, skin, flesh, sinews, bones, skin. It's not a value judgment on. It's like, oh, this body has a certain nature. In the same way that one of the regular chants that we do, I am of the nature to age, I've not gone beyond aging, I'm of the nature to sick, and I've not gone beyond sickness. Sort of like, I'm of the nature to die, I've not gone beyond dying. It's just, there is this reality that we can use to pay attention as a basis for attention and allowing the mind to unify in a way that is settling and cooling and brings about a sense of, of course, this is exactly one of the ways of bringing about, say, that disenchantment that I spoke of at the beginning. But again, that disenchantment is not to create a sense of disgust or fear or anything other than a calm, bright heart. It facilitates the happiness and well-being when it's used correctly, so and again, similar with the garden. It's like the image of the garden. What do we use for fertilizer? I mean, it's stuff that is either old food waste that have been composted or different kinds of waste, and it turns into something beneficial. And so that we do manage to come up with a fair bit of waste in our own minds. It's learning how to use it skillfully, turn it to our advantage, transform it into this calm, bright heart. And you're using these different objects, and so like the body as the elements, which was something I talked about, the elements a couple of weeks ago, I think, It's one of the aspects that the Buddha gives for basis for mindfulness, as a theme of mindfulness, and in the cemetery contemplations and contemplations of death. So these are, and this is just the body. And so that there's the Buddha is sort of opening up into what is fair game for where to unify your mind around, and rather than trying to push stuff away, what do we include? And that's actually, you know, there's a very beautiful way that Ajahn Sumedho has talked about, like, one pointedness, in the sense that there's two different types of points that we tend to incline towards, and there's like we tend a point that excludes, that pushes away, but you know there's a point that includes as well, and that's what we want to be attending to with mindfulness, with four foundations of mindfulness as a basis, unification of mind with these themes. So and then you realize you got a ton of options to use to seed this mind with the calm, bright heart, feelings. You know. Of course, where there isn't a moment, there isn't a mind moment that we are not experiencing. It's a concomitant feeling, pleasant, unpleasant, neutral, and where those feeling, that vedana, is a part of every mind moment, and then in the satipatthana, then it is delineating those three basic vedana, but then also looking at it in terms of the worldly and unworldly types of feelings, because there's feelings that we experience, the pleasant feeling, but then it pulls us off into desire and obsession, or the sense of craving, but this pleasant feeling that is really settling and very peaceful. It's sort of unworldly, beyond the world. The word that the Buddha uses is amissa and niramissa. Sort of amissa is sort of worldly, sort of the world. But it's also it's like a bait, like a bait on a hook, so that the feeling that has a bait to it, and feeling that this is kind of beyond the bait, or without it, without that kind of hook that's going to catch one. So that, and so that the different types of feeling also, you know, have an inclination in a certain way. So this is being very mindful of that, one's very, very, you have as a theme of investigation, and paying attention to the mind. And similarly, we want our mind to be still, we want our mind to be silent, and of course we do. But also, it's important to recognize that when the Buddha delineates what those as a foundation of mindfulness, and so therefore as a theme of unification, just knowing what the mind is doing, when the mind that is has desire, one knows it has desire. The mind is without desire, you know it's without desire. The mind has ill will, and know it has ill will. Without ill will, so like that those are the roots of the greed, hatred, delusion. and without that. You know it either way. When there's a contracted mind, you know when it's contracted, when it's expanded, you know it is. When it's restless, you know when it's restless. When it's still, you know when it's still. When it's peaceful, you know it's peaceful. When it's not peaceful, you know it's not peaceful. So you're not just sort of putting layers of expectation through projection and conjecture into the experience of the mind. It's sort of, oh, this is what it is. It's just like this. And there's a theme of mindfulness, theme to be reflecting on, this five hindrances, five aggregates, six sense bases, which was, of course, the six sense bases were the theme that the Buddha used in the fire sermon. And even though it's a short discourse, it had a tremendous effect because there were, say, a thousand bhikkhus listening to that Dhamma talk, and they were all fully awake and listening to it. So it's a, you think it's not just, oh yeah, eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body, mind. Okay, now what? Just really pay attention. pay attention to our experience. Take a theme and work with it. Unify the mind around it. Bring the calm, bright heart into play so that you know, truly, you know, happiness follows one, you know, like a shadow that never leaves you. So I'll offer that for reflection this evening.